Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of changes in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Fred Monroe and his guests will take on a common topic for this time of year, doing our taxes. Joining Fred today are members of the AARP Foundation Tax Aid Program. This tax aid program is supported by a team of local volunteers and provides tax assistance for free to anyone, with a special focus on low to moderate taxpayers over 50. We're inviting you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation. We are live today with your phone calls at 805-781-3875. And with all of that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Glad to be with you today. Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. Our goal is to bring you credible, valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. I used to have that listed as how today's changes will affect tomorrow's community, but I realize sometimes it's not changes, it's choices. We often discover very helpful community programs assisting scores of local citizens, yet surprisingly unknown to many others. So there's lots of things that we share with you that may be known by half of the county or half of the region, but the other half is very surprised to hear about it for the first time. And so the concept of this topic as a surprise kind of fit for me too, because I really truly did not know that AARP Foundation had a tax aid program that trains and has a IRS certified tax preparing volunteers to help you do your taxes. And I will emphasize this, and so will my guests probably 7 or 18 times here. It is offered for free to anyone, but with a special focus on low-income to moderate-income people over 50, because we all know what AARP is as a base organization. And yes, I know to some people the fact that this is an AARP program adds a bit of humor to it, because they see AARP just filling their mailbox a lot. But this is truly a great program. Joining me today are AARP Tax Aides, part of the partnership with the AARP Foundation and the IRS. Vicki Vandenberg, who's the district coordinator for San Luis Obispo County and Northern Santa Barbara County. Heidi Seeley, who's a local coordinator for Atascadero and Paso Robles sites, and also the San Luis Obispo County training instructor for the program. We will have a conversation today that's going to be really kind of twofold, at least, and that is kind of unusual for us. That is, we'll talk about the program that AARP offers and how it fits into the community. But I suspect you may also have some tax questions that are in the category of, I would like someone other than the IRS to answer this for me. And the IRS may be the person that can answer the question, but the other alternative I generally have is my brother-in-law, George, and I'd rather not have George know about my taxes. So we may have questions that you have that Heidi and Vicki will be glad to answer. As you know, the phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. I will remind everyone that while we generally will take your questions live on the air, if that becomes somewhat intrusive but you have a question you'd like to have us talk about, remember that Brad, our engineer, can take your question. You can have it answered off on the air by our guests, but without your involvement in the call, if that's the case. We understand that there's a lot of people who are afraid of the IRS. Heidi and Vicki, thank you very much. It was truly, I will tell you, a delightful thing to find out that there was such a program. I did not know such a program existed. But obviously, since you've been doing it for a number of years on a nationwide basis, I suspect I've been in the dark while other people have been using it for a long time. Why don't we start with maybe an overall explanation of the history and origin of the program and how it got into not just a national program, but San Luis Obispo County.
All right, I'll take that. So we've been offering this free, I like that, free tax service here in SLO County for over 25 years. And we've helped, just last year, over 3,500 tax returns were filed, helping over 5,000 taxpayers. So we serve a pretty big part of the county, and we were enabled those clients to get back over $3 million in refunds, which is obviously great for them personally. It's great for the county, money that can go back into buying goods and services. As a group, we've grown to over 120 volunteers, and that's a lot of tax counselors, people that get certified to do taxes, but we have an important role in client facilitators. They help manage the site, manage checking in all the clients, making sure they're ready for their appointment. We also have a scheduling team that helps people make appointments that aren't comfortable with technology. So we have folks that can help you get on our schedule. So we're always looking for new volunteers. We're getting geared up to start this year. If you are interested in our program, we provide all the training and education and support to get you up to speed. And you can learn more about it on our website, which I'm going to mention now and mention again, 17 times?
Yeah. Thereabouts. Yeah.
I'm going to say this slow, and then I'll try and spell it out. ccfreetax.org. So CC, like Central Coast, free, FREE. TAX.org. So ccfreetax.org. And there's a page on there about volunteering.
And I'll mention to our listeners also that if for some reason you did not catch that, even though we will indeed repeat it 17 times, the front desk here at the station has a copy of that website information too. So if 2 days from now you'd like that information and realize you didn't write it down or you wrote it down incorrectly, give Claire a call at the front desk and at KCBX, and they will gladly follow up with that also.
Yep.
You inserted a part of this that hadn't occurred to me as part of my questions, is that you may have people who want to volunteer, but the concept of, gee, my personal skill set or my confidence in myself may be that I don't know that I could prepare anybody else's taxes or help even with a lot of training. But you have positions like schedulers, so you could, if you wanted to volunteer but you did not want to be a tax preparer, you could do something like be one of your schedulers.
Yeah, and that's a nice work from home position where you're helping return calls from clients using your computer, your tablet. But also there are the on-site role of the client facilitator, where you're not doing the taxes, but it's a vital role for us, making sure the paperwork's all there, the client's ready, so that when they do meet with their counselor, we're ready to get their return going. So, yeah, they're all great opportunities.
I'd like to jump in here, Frederick.
Let me back up a second.
I'm sorry.
The first person you heard from was Vicki, and I didn't reintroduce her. Sorry, but the person you're going to hear from now is Heidi. And Heidi, take it away.
Well, I'd like to jump in and talk just a little bit about the AARP process. So Vicki mentioned the website. You can go online and book your own appointment. Everybody has to have an appointment to come to one of our sites. I know some people may be, but it's a very user-friendly, easy to get an appointment that way, and you would see the vast expanse of our offerings on appointments. And I have found, surprisingly, that many, many of our seniors have completely jumped into doing their own scheduling. When they get an appointment and they come on, what they can expect is when they first come on site, we have a client facilitator, as Vicki mentioned. That's really our first line of defense, our first welcoming, if you will, that they would be greeted, let's say. And that greeter would make sure that they have the appropriate documents for us to complete the return this year. Hopefully, those clients would bring their prior year return. That's a big help to us, especially if it's a new client to us who we don't know. I'm going to say that maybe 75 to 80% of the people we service are repeats. Once they get into our system, they appreciate the service and the process, and they come back year after year. But clients will come on, have this appointment, have their return done by one of our counselors. 100% of the time, without fail, without exception, a second counselor will do a review of that return to ensure there's nothing that's been omitted, or I have big fat farmer fingers that there aren't transpositions. And then when that's completed, and of course the client is part of this. This is a team effort. The client is being interviewed, asked many, many questions that may be relevant to their tax return. And when that's completed, we will print both a federal and a state return for the client, review it with them, number by number. It's their return. It's not our return. We act as a conduit to between the client and the taxing agencies, the IRS and the California Franchise Tax Board. When it's completed, we'll review that with them so they understand everything. They'll sign one document for us saying that it's their return, they're responsible for the content, and that they would like us then at the end of the day to transmit their returns electronically to both the IRS and the State of California Franchise Tax Board. So it's perfect world. It's one-stop shopping. They come in with everything we need. We prepare their return. We print them for them, and they leave. And the only thing that they would need to do if they leave is if they owe and they don't want to do a direct debit, we will send them home with a voucher and an addressed envelope, and they need to do the hard part, which is fund that amount due. The other thing I do want to really mention quickly here, because you mentioned the comment, part of what I really enjoy about this program is the emotional side of it. So there's a lot of people that are just, quite frankly, petrified of our taxing agencies. You say IRS, and they want to crawl under a rock. We work with people from the IRS, and we find them to be actually very good professionals. They're responsive in our relationship with them. Our organization has a relationship with the IRS, and we find they're great people. They're just working really, really, really hard. They are under-resourced, and so that's when you call in the phone rings and rings and rings. It's not that somebody's on a cigarette break. It's just they have huge volumes. And I find one of the challenges that I personally really try to seek out is to try and address anxiety and stress issues. And we try to provide a very comfortable, supportive environment for our clients. We're advocate for our clients. And that's part of what we do on a daily basis, is to try and diffuse high anxiety. And it's anxiety that is based in, I mean, there's a reason that we're all anxious when we have to do our tax returns.
I suspect there's a lot of the public that, even if they have done their own taxes on a software program, or if they have had a CPA or an enrolled agent for many, many years, and life has gotten simpler for them, or the process is not as complex with whatever they're doing for their return, they're coming to you for the first time. I suspect sometimes you get the question that would come to my mind first, so it may not just be me that would ask it, but somebody would ask, and that is, if for some reason when you do my taxes this year, something pops up that has the IRS question or send it back to me with some question or concerns, can I still get a hold of you when the IRS gets a hold of me?
Absolutely. So both through our website and the phone number that I'm going to tell you about for scheduling, we monitor that all year long. And we make sure that if a client sends a note with the, oh my God, I got a letter from the IRS, we reach out to the site where the return was done and make sure that the site lead, like a Heidi or myself, will reach that client and meet with them and figure out how to help them resolve the letter. So it's really important that we, you know, stay there to be available to follow up.
What are the most predominant questions that you get for first-time users of your service?
Well, I think a lot are like, is this really free? And
okay,
and
that one's good and easy
good
to
one.
Answer.
I like that one. And are you all paid? I do get asked that a lot, and I have to answer, no, we are 100% volunteers, putting in a lot of our time to be able to help people. We do get asked a lot, well, what do I need to bring? Like, what's important to have at my appointment? And, you know, because we want them to show up, and as Heidi said, in the ideal world, one and done. So we iterate, you know, the importance of, especially a first-time client, we need to know who you are. you need to bring your driver's license, photo ID, something that makes clear. You need to have the Social Security numbers, like cards, Social Security benefit statement for everyone on the return, not just you, but if you have dependents, we have to have that information. Heidi mentioned the prior year return, especially if we didn't do it. We need to see what was there last year. And if it's not here this year, you know, we're going to, why not? So last year you had a W-2 from company XYZ. I don't see it this year. Did you not work there or did we forget it? So, you know, we kind of go through a lot of what they need to bring. And then, you know, kind of work through it. And then if they do have a balance due, sometimes the questions are, what are my options to pay this? What if I can't pay it all right now? And so we help them work through those questions as well.
Yeah. One of the other questions that comes to mind for me is as the tax process has become more automated, there are fewer forms or fewer pieces of documentation that I need to send to the IRS with my return. They have a copy somewhere in their system.
Correct.
Already.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need me to send them a paper 1099 for something.
Correct.
I suspect that's a question if people are reasonably along in the process. That may have been something that they had to do in the past, and you may get skeptics.
Yeah, I think the e-file process is, you know, it's pretty effective. And you're right, the IRS has, and so does California FTB, a lot of the information that shows up on your return. They know about your wages. They know about your interest in your dividends. What they're making sure is that the return we file on your behalf matches. And if it doesn't, they're asking questions. But, you know, people, you know, the main thing people have to do, as Heidi mentioned, was send a check if they owe money. Pay it online. That they don't have to do a lot of. They meet with us, they sign in front of us, and they're good to go, which is really nice. They can walk away from that appointment knowing I did everything I had to do today.
Let me remind folks, you are welcome to give us a call. We have two people who are not IRS agents, but very familiar with the system, who will gladly answer your questions. So your questions today may be not only about how you can use their service, but tax questions or things that have come up. And we have a captive audience. I mean, we have another 40 minutes of airtime here. So I can assure you that we will be willing to answer your questions and they will be willing to answer your questions. And I'll remind you again also, if you want to ask a question and you would rather make sure your voice is not heard on the radio, you can call in and Brad will take your question and he'll pass it along to our guests. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. I frankly would love to hear people's unusual tax questions.
Hey, I would like to jump in, Fred, on the question that I get a lot. And a lot of times it's happening when I'm preparing the return and reviewing it with my clients, is that, geez, I thought Social Security wasn't taxable. So that's just a fallacy. Social Security has been, I don't know, at least in my entire life, has been taxable, some portion of it. It still is taxable. There was some discussion with the new tax law for 2025. It did not change in any way the taxability of Social Security. So Social Security is either taxed at a zero rate if it's all dependent on other income that's reported on your tax return. So if you have low other income, you might have a small pension, or you have a small withdrawal or distribution on your IRA. Many of our clients have zero tax on their Social Security. They report it on their tax return. We input it, and you go over to the taxable line, and it will say zero taxable for Social Security. The max that is taxable for Social Security is 85% of what you've received. So it is up to 85% if you have significant other income. But it is, in fact, taxable. I don't want to get too confused, for federal purposes, though the state of California does not tax Social Security. Same issue with the differences. Federal will tax unemployment. State of California does not tax unemployment. Those are two of the most frequent items where they're taxed differently between the state and the feds.
Let's back up to the Social Security issue again, because it's always been that way.
As far as I know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So not to pick on any of your potential clients or current clients, Are you talking about that coming up for people who maybe have just turned old enough to take their Social Security? And just for the record, the oldest person in the room is asking that question.
Okay, so I would say I've had a 102-year-old woman pay tax on Social Security, and I found it disgusting. Almost every year. And I get it. I understand. I empathize. Almost every year, even with returning clients, there's a comment, a reference to the fact that they're getting taxed on their Social Security. I can't change the law. I can be understanding their concerns, but it comes up quite frequently.
Something that just jumped out at me, I realized that we probably should have talked about before, but we can talk about now, and that is you do not offer tax advice.
Absolutely not.
Okay. And how do we define the difference between tax information and tax advice with what you do?
What I'd like to stress there is we're not trying to help you have a tax-saving strategy. You know, don't take money out of this pension or don't do this because it might generate tax.
Uh-huh, okay.
But when we're looking at someone's tax return, let's say at the end of the return, you've got a big balance due. And we're like, you know, in order to avoid that next year, here's some choices you could make. You could have more tax withheld from your pension or these kind of payments, or you could make estimated payments. We might help with that kind of advice, how to not get a big bill next year, because those can be a nasty surprise. But we're not going to try and help you make tax planning strategies. That's just not what we do.
Okay, so maybe advice may be a poor choice of words for me. It may be an issue of you don't talk about strategies with people, but you can give them whatever tax information advice related to the law or related to what you can find for them for information.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and particularly on the example that Vicki brought up, if you owe more than $1,000 to the IRS when you're doing your returns, they have the right to come in under certain circumstances to penalize you for that, because we're required as taxpayers to fund our tax obligation timely, meaning throughout the year. And so they encourage, send us information. If somebody owes a lot of money, please, you know, estimated tax payments, which you make quarterly generally, we can provide that kind of, let's say, information, okay, not advice, but guidance to try and get them to a position where they're not going to have the IRS contact them after the season.
We have a call from Anna in Los Osos. Let's take her call and see what's up here. Hi, Anna. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. You're on the air.
Okay. I have two questions. First of all, I was wondering, do I have to be an AARP member?
You do not.
No.
And we wish we could almost rename the program. AARP Foundation funds our program through a grant. But no, you can be a 19-year-old person having their first job at McDonald's and come to our service. Yes.
Well, I'm in my 70s, so that doesn't count. And how complicated can this be? I'm self-employed. I have a little bit of stock, and I have a part-time job. Is that going to be too much?
No. In fact, well, let's talk about that. So we do focus on income tax returns. Just want to stress, mm-hmm, for anyone out there, we don't do estate returns, trusts, partnership,
right,
business returns.
Right.
But if you're self-employed, we can handle that as long as you don't have any employees or have any inventory you need to write off. We're not good at depreciating in our organization. But we can handle complex topics like itemized deductions, capital gains, interest, dividends, all forms of retirement income. And, yeah, when someone's self-employed, we can help them, you know, create their, we call it Schedule C, and figure out the profit of their business and the tax they owe.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's been very helpful.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for calling.
I'd like to
go ahead. Heidi wants to add one thing.
I just want to take an opportunity to talk about the key things we don't do. We are not allowed to process a return married filing separately. We're in a community property state. There's lots of rules that go along with it, so we don't. We do married filing jointly. We do single. We do head of household, and we'll also do a qualifying surviving spouse, those filing categories. The other things we don't do is we're not allowed to do rental property. Again, back to depreciation that Vicki just mentioned, it's complex. There's lots of rules that go on yearly and on the disposition of a rental property. We don't do rental property. We're not allowed to do, and this will impact a lot of taxpayers, we could do other than we do not do EV credits. We do not do solar installation credits. Those are out of the scope of our program. But other than that.
Other two would be that we run into some is if you're a Bitcoin dabbler, you like to sell cryptocurrency.
Right. Yep.
If you just hold it, we can do your return. But once you sell it, you transact, your return's out of scope for us. Also, if you're not a California resident or you only lived here part of the year, we aren't allowed to do those. So those are some areas.
So if I rent a room in my house, that counts as a rental and you can't do that then?
If you're generating income from that,
yes.
And the reason is because we're not able to help you kind of write off the depreciation impact of renting on your home, which lowers that income and gets you a smaller tax bill. So it's in your best interest to have someone that can help you do that. Do your return in that case.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For calling,
right.
Anna.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, good questions.
Yeah.
And good opportunity for you to reemphasize some things,
yeah,
too.
So I wanted to kind of just segue to, you know, where we are if you want to take advantage of our services. Anna just called in from Los Osos, so for her info, we have a site on the coast in Morro Bay. So we have 9 sites in the county. We have 2 in Paso Robles, 1 specifically focused on Spanish-speaking clients. We also have a site in Atascadero and San Luis Obispo. In South County, we have a site in Napomo, 1 in Grover Beach, and 2 in Arroyo Grande. So 9 sites across the county that someone can, you know, go to based on where they live or possibly work to get their appointment done. And as Heidi said, you have to have an appointment at any one of these sites. We don't do drop-in. We need an appointment. And to get that appointment, there's a couple ways. You can book online. Heidi mentioned our tool. The online booking will not open until January 19th. That's when the system will be available to book an appointment. And that's at our website, which, say again,
we're only on number 2 or
number
3.
Number 2. I got a lot to go. Yeah. ccfreetax.org. So cc like Central Coast, FREETAX.org. And there's a make an appointment page. You can see our sites. There are days of the week. We are mostly retired volunteers, so we are a weekday, kind of 9 to 4-ish group of people with one site that does a Saturday. We don't do nights. If you're not good with technology and you need help with an appointment, the phone line will open a week later on Monday, January 26th. And that number, I'm going to say this a couple times, 805-931-6308. I'll repeat that, 805-931-6308. And you call, you leave a message, you know, I'm Fred, I want an appointment at Atascadero. A scheduler will call you back and work with you to find out, you know, how the availability of the site matches with you and get you an appointment booked.
And give me a checklist as to what I need to make sure I bring.
That's a big part of that conversation, especially if you're a new client. You're going to get emails, and I call them love letters from us, with all the reminders about being ready. So hopefully, you know, you show up ready, and we've given you all the information you need.
I guess love letters from the AARP program might be okay. Love letters from the IRS, I'm a little skeptical about.
Agree. Less appealing.
We're going to take a quick break. This is Central Coast Voices. We're talking to some wonderful folks from the AARP Tax Aid Program, Vicki Vandenberg and Heidi Seeley, and we'll have more to talk about in just a moment. Back over to Brad in the studio.
On the next Fresh Air, we hear from longtime sports journalist Sam Smith and Phil Jackson, who coached the Chicago Bulls and Los Angeles Lakers to 11 NBA championships. Their new book, Masters of the Game, shares untold stories and hard-won lessons from some of the greatest players in basketball. Join us.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
That's a quick look ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX. We've got Latino USA coming up following this program. Then it is Fresh Air from 3 to 4, Marketplace from 4 to 4:30, and then All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30. Right now we're talking taxes with Fred Monroe and his guests. And Fred, we did have somebody who called in with a quick question. They didn't want to go on the air, but they did have some a question for me.
Go right ahead.
And what they wanted to know is, so this service is being offered free to everyone, even if they can afford paid help and maybe have been using that with no real problem? Is it, there a means testing, or is it just free to everyone, even if they can't afford the paid help?
I'll take that. So it is free to anyone, and the way I would articulate who we can serve is we do have scope boundaries, like we were mentioning before the break, about rental property, people with a business that have employees. So there are things we can't do from a scope perspective. And there are times when someone's income level is high enough that it triggers certain kinds of additional taxes that are out of scope for us. But in general, we try never to turn anyone away. And we do have clients that come to us and have been paying someone, you know, $100, $200, $300 to do the return. And yet it's really not, they don't need that level of service. It's all within our scope. And we're happy to help them, happy to help them save some money. But, you know, if you've got a lot of complicated return and, you know, some of these topics, you may find that we can't do your return just because of the complications. But it's a scope issue more than affordability issue.
Is there a very good answer that comes to mind for me? Is there a process at which they need to check with you as to what you will or will not do before they've taken your time with an appointment that they can't use?
Yes, that's a good question. So we, you know, when a client calls to book an appointment with our scheduling team, we do ask them, have you been with us before? And if they say no, then they're going to kind of review, do you have your own business with inventory? Do you have the, so we try and weed out the common things that we might know. But it does happen sometimes where someone does come for their appointment. We start going through the details and realize they've just got something we're not trained to do. And I think that's the key thing. It's what we're trained to do and qualified to do in that certification process. We're not all enrolled agents and CPAs. So, you know, in some cases, but we do our best to screen and pry and help people understand what we can and cannot do in advance of them booking the appointment.
Yeah. I want to add a question because Anna, our caller before, was talking about what could or could not be covered. And one of the things that you covered, Vicki, was if you own rental property, you don't do the return. We have an area of rental property now that falls into a very gray area as to what it really translates into. If someone has a bedroom or a cottage that they do,
Airbnb maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that become a rental property that's excluded?
If it's 14 days or less in a year, no. And it's kind of funny that under that, the IRS is just absolutely silent. So if you have a very part-time use of that as an Airbnb or a VRBO, whatever you want to call it, the answer is it's silent. But if you do it more than 14 days, it would be out of scope for us.
An interesting benchmark to work with.
Yes, interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, can I jump, unless you have a question for us?
Let me grab the caller. Okay. Hold on a second. We have Genevieve in San Luis Obispo. Are you still there? You're on the air.
Here I am. Thank you. My income is taxed by pensions in England, both state and teachers. It's a married filing jointly. So our income is about $45,000 a year in these pensions, depending upon the rate of exchange, and it is taxed regularly in England. I'm an American citizen. I have been filing taxes, apparently because my income is low. I don't really have to file taxes, but I have been every year. When I went to get advice at Cal Poly, nobody knew about how to fill in the page foreign tax credit form. Would any of the AARP volunteers know how to do that?
I'm pausing for a minute. We deal with some level of foreign tax credit, but it depends on how big it is. Because
right.
a certain level of foreign tax credit, and I cannot remember off the top of my head the dollar amount, triggers an additional form that's more complicated. I know I deal with it on my own personal income taxes, and that form is out of scope for us. There are cases where the foreign tax credit just gives you kind of a straight up kind of adjustment to income and do that. Right. But it is – so it's kind of a – some questions are, and it depends on the dollar amount.
Right. Let me become an advocate for you, Genevieve, for a second.
Yes.
If she made an appointment under the hopes that you could do it, the worst that would happen is you would have to basically look at her material when she got there and indicate to her that you couldn't proceed.
That's
so
correct.
I'll jump in here, Fred. We try to avoid that circumstance because we have more demand than we have appointments generally. What we also would recommend is when you make an appointment online, let's say it was Genevieve, and she wasn't sure about that, there's a comment area. And if I saw that Genevieve had made an appointment at one of my sites and she lives in the comment area, I have a foreign pension, it would allow me the opportunity as the LC to do research and talk to her and understand whether or not her particular situation is something we could handle or not. But we try to avoid people making appointments, rolling the dice. We'd rather have a discussion with them understand can we or can we not do that appointment ahead of time so that we can appropriately – we want to have every person that has an appointment in a day have a tax return done. That's the best use of our resources.
I understand, yes. Yeah. We went once to a site which was a church off Johnson Road, and they couldn't deal with it either. Would that have been one of your sites?
That would be, our site at the Church of Nazarene in SLO.
Yeah. So they couldn't deal with it then, so possibly. But I'll enter into communication with you after January and see how it goes.
Sure.
Otherwise, I won't be anxious about it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for the call, thank you for an interesting question.
And Fred,
go ahead, Peg.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So Genevieve had mentioned she doesn't have enough income. She didn't have to file a return. And I just want to talk for a minute about who does have to file a return.
Yes.
A question we get a lot is, I only get Social Security. I live on Social Security. I have no other income. Am I required to find a tax return? The answer is no, but the other answer is we're happy to do it for you. And at this point, I've changed my position on this because I used to think it was just noise. You're doing a tax return. The IRS and the state of California don't care about it. We're using valuable prepared time. And it doesn't mean a difference to you, except when they stimulated, the state of California stimulated individuals who had submitted to California returned $600. And I felt like a heel because those of people that I had said, you don't have to do a return, the ones who needed it most did not get it. So that's one. Other people who do have to file is if you're on covered California. You have to file a return because there's a reconciliation through the tax return process on the credit, the advance credit you've got received on that program. If you're single and you make more than $15,750, or if you're married and filing jointly and your income is more than $31,500. Yes. Also, you would want to do a tax return, and we see this in young people who get their first job. I wish they would click I'm exempt from tax. They earn a small amount of money. They have $32. I'm using numbers. They have some amount, small amount usually, for withholding. And then they come in and file a tax return just to get their withholding back because they have no tax obligation. So we'll file that return as well.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense.
Alrighty.
Yes.
Genevieve,
thanks
for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the extra clarification. Yeah, okay. All the best in your voluntary work. How generous.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Yes. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah. Brad, I think you said you had some questions from callers that did not want to go on the air.
I do. One was from Ken in Paso Robles, and he wanted to know if your panel can provide any insight into what the overtime and tips rules are this year about being taxable.
I would love
jump
to.
Jump on
I
in,
would
folks.
Love to.
Yes.
Thank you, Ken. All right. So there's two new deductions as part of the tax bill. There are actually four, but these two new ones, there's others, one related to tips and one related to overtime. So as a caveat, I will just say that the line prior during campaigning of no tax on tips did not quite materialize into the bill, but there is a reduction. So for tips, you can deduct up to $25,000 of qualified monetary tips from your federal income. And I use the word monetary because if someone tipped you with tickets to a show, you don't get to deduct that. It has to be, you know, cash, credit card tips. And tips must be voluntary. They can't be written in some contract. You know, they're required to tip you in an occupation that usually receives tips. And IRS is still helping clarify for us more specifics. But, you know, if you're not in a job that, you know, you're an investment banker, you don't usually get tips. But if you're a waitress or you're a masseuse or something, those tips, this is important, need to be reported on your W-2. You know, that's the document you bring in with your wages and information, or a 1099 if you're a contract employee. They have to be on there. Or you can use earnings statements, point of sale reports, or daily tip logs to show us what those tips are. But important thing to note, although you can exempt up to this $25,000 of tips from your income, there will be Medicare and Social Security taxes applied. So if they were unreported tips and you let us know about them, they're going to get taxed just like the rest of your wages for what we call FICA, Social Security and Medicare.
I have what can be classified as a stupid question on this one, but I'll ask it anyway.
Please do.
You talk about things that can or cannot be considered. If someone gives me a gift card to a local restaurant as a tip, it's not cash, but it would be kind of in the category of the theater tickets that you were talking about.
Yes.
I'm wondering whether or not that issue comes up, and you might just say, we wish the host of the program would not ask such difficult questions.
I think it's a fair question. I would say that is not considered. It needs to be cash, you know, cash, kind of, you know, money through a credit card, a Zelle or whatever, but not an item.
Okay.
And then let me cover overtime, and then maybe Heidi could talk about couple.
Brad has another question from a.
I hadn't finished. He asked me about both of these
I think
topics.
Once she finishes overtime, okay, then yeah, I can pass
that. Okay, and then we'll get to a question. Yeah. So quick on overtime, you can deduct up to $12,500 of qualified overtime compensation if you're single, or up to $25,000 if you're married filing jointly. You need to be a non-exempt employee. You can't be a salaried employee. You have to be non-exempt. If your overtime isn't separated out and visible on, say, your W-2 or your 1099, you can calculate the amount using pay stubs and personal records. So in both of these cases, you know, you need to come to us if it's not visible in these documents, prepared with your kind of your evidence, your number of what you want to try and adjust. And we'll have like tip sheet guides we give tax payers to help them work through where we get asked questions. But, you know, you have to have the numbers. We can't just make them up for you.
And I'd like to add in here to not make things too confusing, but to probably add clarification. It is not the full amount that we all call overtime. So if I'm an employee and I make $10 an hour and I work an hour of overtime and I get paid $15, which is generally the overtime rate is 50%, I get to deduct $5. It's only the incremental portion. And it's capped at that. So if I happen to work 1 hour at 150%, I get paid $15 for that. And I work another hour and it's on a Sunday and I get paid 200%. I only get to deduct $5 for each of those hours. So it gets a little confusing to taxpayers. But they need to come prepared with their records. As an example, somebody has mentioned to me recently, I guess Costco pays employees 200% double time on Sundays. It's not it has to be a Fair Standard Labor Act, OT, and that is not considered required by federal standards. So that extra overtime for Costco employees on Sunday is a non-regulated decision and it is not eligible.
And Heidi, I would put on top of that answer, this is a very good reason because it's come up in discussion we had beforehand as to why your volunteers go through training every year.
Yes. Actually, 2024 was a year of very few tax changes. And, of course, 25 is at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Brad, you have another question?
Yes, and it's very interesting that the topic of volunteers came up right at the end of this last question's answering. Because Josie in San Luis Obispo, she was interested to find out about if the organization is looking for volunteers and what qualifications one needs to have to volunteer for the organization.
Yeah, we definitely are looking for volunteers. Our season starts officially February 1st, so we're right now gearing up people for training and certification. The qualifications depend on the role you want to play. If you want to be a tax counselor, we will provide training and help get you certified and up to snuff on the tax law. But for you to be qualified, it's important that you're personally comfortable on a computer. You spend a lot of time. We use a Chromebook, but you need to be comfortable with your mouse, with your keyboard, working around on that computer. Definitely got to have a comfort with numbers. Can't be a kind of number-fearing soul. You got to be comfortable with numbers and detail because you're going to have to deal with a lot of detail. The software does a lot for you. But you do have to have that comfort. It's great if you've done your own return, but you don't have to be a tax professional. I was not a tax professional when I joined the program.
Neither was I.
But I did my own taxes and numbers and things. So that's kind of after the other roles. The requirements are different. If you're a scheduler, you need to have a decent computer or tablet device at home because you're going to use that to contact clients. So you got to still have some technical comfort. The client facilitator probably is the least technical role. But again, you got to be organized, good with people, comfortable, kind of going through the detail of making sure they've brought everything to their appointment. So it kind of varies by that role. But the counselor one, probably those are the most extensive requirements.
Yeah, and I would add on the counselor, it is a 40-hour-a-week in-classroom training is part of the requirement. And to be very clear, and then after that training, which is going to take place in the second week of January, between then and January 31st, candidates then take the test. And that's part of the issue for us.
We've avoided talking about the test.
A TEST. Okay. And I know when I took it, when I first joined the program, I hadn't taken a test in 40 years. And
we should mention it's an open book test.
Open book.
You get
everything
all your notes and all your books. You don't have to memorize. But
And one of the things I'd like to add about being involved in the program, it is one of the most positive, reinforcing issues I've been involved in my life. We have a very supportive team. So even though I'm preparing a single taxpayer's, and I think you asked way back when, Fred, is there that when you first joined the concern about preparing somebody else's tax return, we have a lot of safety blankets for our counselors. We work as a team. So if I'm doing your return, Fred, and I start it and I see something I haven't seen before or I just don't know how to interpret something, of course, I have reference materials, many, many, many reference materials, starting with IRS.gov to get the facts from them. But there's other things that help us interpret that. I stand up and I talk to another counselor. We do it all day long. And so there's a comfort in that. But I just will say that the people who are in the program are some of the kindest humanitarians, supportive people that I've had in my life. And unlike my corporate life, the thing I really, really enjoy about this program is that we all get in the morning, each morning when we do it, all of those that work at the site, we all have the exact same definition of success. So we all know what it's going to look like at the end of the day, whether or not we achieved what we wanted to achieve. Not so in my corporate life. We'd get together and the chairman of the board would say it and 20 different departments could go back and then kind of interpret what that meant from their vision. We all know exactly what it looks like. So we're all pushing, pulling, running in the same direction. And the other thing I really like, again, I got to say corporate life's not so much. You get immediate feedback from a very grateful client. So for our locations, we either do 5 or 6 returns a day. And you're getting 5 or 6 hugs or 5 or 6 cupcakes or whatever it may be, our clients are really grateful for what we've done. And so you go away as somebody who's worked, you work really hard. You go home very tired at the end of the day because this is very challenging work, especially since we don't do it for a living. But boy, the gratification and then being part of it, the feeling good about what you're providing back to the community is really substantial.
That's good to hear. And I have two reasonably minor questions, but I wanted to cover them. One is, if someone has used this service someplace else, it's pretty much standardized across the country, right? So if you had a site in Detroit, Michigan that did your taxes for you under the AARP Foundation, bringing that information with you to San Luis Obispo is not a challenge.
That's correct. We actually, within our system, have the ability in every site. The one in Detroit would have asked that client last year, would you like to have select in for global carry forward? And what that means is if they go to any other AARP tax aid site, maybe VITA, in the United States, and they came into the Tascadero, I would be working. I would put in the Social Security number, and it would say, I recognize Fred. He's from Detroit. Would you like to look at what is last year's information and carry forward to this year? And, of course, the answer would be yes. So it's a really nice, and we have had that, of course, happen. People move around, and yes.
The other question for me that comes to mind, because I am such a cluttered, unorganized paper pusher, is when I finish my return with you, can I get a PDF copy sent to an email address so I never lose it?
Yes.
Yes,
you may.
Yeah.
You may. If there's no questions right now, can I expand?
Yeah, we've got
a little bit?
Got a couple of minutes. But
okay. I'd like to expand. Vicki started on two issues with the new, let's just call it the new tax bill for 2025. Okay. One, a new benefit, which will positively impact many of the tax repairs we do, tax clients we do, is what they're calling a senior credit or deduction, really. It's $6,000 for anyone who is over 65, meaning you've reached the age of 65 before December 31st, 2025. In addition to the standard deductions we're all used to seeing on our tax returns, you can either use a standard deduction or you can itemize if you have lots of expenses to itemize. But many of our clients take standard deduction. They're going to automatically get an extra $6,000 deduction on their 2025 return. If they're married filing jointly, it can be $12,000. There are income limits on that. I believe it's 75 for single and 150 for married, where that benefit becomes under $6,000. But I expect that many of my clients, the clients I see year in and year out in Atascadero and Paso Robles, are going to see a $12,000 benefit on their return this year.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good. The other one I'd like to mention, because it's near and dear to many taxpayers, excuse me. It's a deduction for being able to deduct interest on a new vehicle purchase in 2025. And again, it's a separate deduction to everything else. So if we have a taxpayer who has bought a qualified vehicle in 2025, they'll be able to deduct the interest if they have a loan. They didn't pay cash. They'd be able to deduct that interest right now, the bill says, from 2025 through 2028. It has to be at least assembled in the United States, the vehicle. Hopefully the dealer is aware of it, but the code, VIN number, contains the information on where the vehicle was actually manufactured and assembled. So there's a thing called a VIN decoder. And if I were one of these people who bought, if I bought a new vehicle in 2025, I would get my VIN number and go to the VIN decoder right now and see what it says.
That's good. And we're going to leave it with that, because now we're going to transition into what I generally refer to as the host shuts up and my guests get the last word. And Heidi, you're first.
Okay. Well, in wrap up, I would like to just say, whether or not you're going to use the AARP tax aid service or you're going to go to any other tax preparer, be prepared. And by that, I mean, have your driver's license or a photo ID with you. Have your Social Security card or your Social Security statement with you. Have all your tax documents for 2025 out of the envelopes and ready for someone to use. If possible, get your last year's tax return and take that with you. And if you have any of these new things we've talked about, if you think you have OT time or you have TIP or a new car, be prepared. You can't show up at our service or anywhere else and expect. We're not accountants. We're really processors. And so be as prepared as you possibly can for wherever you get your tax return done.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Vicki, you get the last of the last word.
The last of the last word. Well, lucky me. So just a reminder, a plug. This is free, 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 free taxes. We are all volunteers ready to help you. Again, we have 9 sites in the county, 2 in Paso, 1 in Atascadero, 1 in San Luis Obispo, 4 in South County, Napomo, Grover Beach, Oro Grande, and 1 out on the coast in Morro Bay. So lots of places to get your taxes done. You do not need to be an ARP member. You don't have to be a senior citizen. We do have some scope limits, but we, you know, we're there to try and help people. In order to book an appointment, starting January 19th, we have an online system, and you can go to our website, ccfreetax.org. So CC, like Central Coast, FREETAX.org. We have an appointment booking page there. If technology isn't your friend, you can't get your grandkid to do it for you or your neighbor, you can call us starting January 26, 805-931-6308. I'll repeat that, 805-931-6308. Call that number, let them know where you'd like to get your taxes done, and they will get back to you and help you book that appointment. And we hope we see you there.
I will interject one thing in that, and that is if you did not hear any of that information in a way you could write it down, you can call the station and they can give you the website, number one. And number two, if that doesn't work either, if you put in AARP tax aid into Google, it will find a national site, which I believe will give people access directly to,
yes,
to the local program.
Yep. You can get to us through AARP.org's website.
And little did we think we would not find plenty to talk about for almost 60 minutes about the IRS. We got no IRS calls. That's nice. Anyway, this has been Central Coast Voices. I'm glad you've all been with us today. I really enjoyed having my guests here today. It's wonderful to talk to people who are volunteers for a program that is mutually beneficial to pretty much the volunteer and to people who use the services. So I appreciate that. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here, and she's going to be really looking at a very important healthcare discussion. Joining Chris will be medical professionals and family members of transsexual youth speaking up to clarify myths, misunderstandings, and misinformation facing the transsexual community. That'll be a very interesting show from Chris next week. Central Coast Voices, as I've said before, and I will say again that I'm so grateful for the fact that KCBX allows this program to be on the air. It is produced in conjunction with our engineer, Brad Kyle, and other staff at KCBX, making this a wonderful opportunity. If you have any questions for us, you can reach us at voices@kcbx.org. You can also, of course, call the station and get the same information. And today, I want to really thank Vicki Vandenberg and Heidi Seeley for a wonderful discussion about taxes. It is not often that we can have a discussion about doing your taxes that it can feel as positive as this, and I thank you to both of them.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you. This has been Central Coast Voices.